Welcome to the Boys and Girls Haven Happenings podcast, featuring conversations and stories designed to equip, mobilize, and encourage our community to support children and young adults in foster care. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of Haven Happenings.
WDRB's Dakota Sherrick shares some of the new recommendations for parents.
Hi there, everyone. I'm Nick Brewer, editor of the Haven Happenings podcast. And today we're going to be exploring everyone's favorite way to waste time on the internet.
Scrolling social media is part of everyday life for most.
It's something that almost all young people are using or are exposed to.
This is Josh Swetnam.
Hi, I'm Josh Swetnam.
Boys and Girls Haven's director of Haven Family Counseling.
It can be very positive and it can also have a lot of negative.
On May 19th, 2023, Josh participated in a WDRB news story about the effects of social media on teen mental health.
The American Psychological Association released a report on youth social media.
About a week later, I followed up with Josh about that story. I ended up recording a conversation between Josh and Ebony Dixon, a veteran therapist at Boys and Girls Haven.
I was gonna say, just kind of jumping in there, I think about with social media, I remember when I first...
During that conversation, they highlighted common risk factors associated with social networking.
To me, it's kind of the Wild Wild West.
Most notably, its potential to increase depression, anxiety, and poor self-esteem.
I've even known kids who weren't depressed, but got depressed because they were exposed to some just terrible things that happen in the world.
But on the other side of the coin, social media has become a standard tool for communication and for self-expression. On today's episode, we'll be diving headfirst into a few specific examples of how interactive technologies like Facebook have helped youth in foster care to connect with families and to one another. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Haven Happenings podcast. You can listen to more episodes or learn more by visiting us online at boysandgirlshaven.org.
So, what do you want your alias to be? Because I don't think we're going to use your real name.
Right now, you're hearing me on a Facebook Messenger call with a past Boys and Girls Haven client.
What do you want your alias to be?
My alias.
We're going to call him Kevin.
Okay. Well, I'm Kevin then.
All right, Kev.
Kevin was officially placed in DCBS custody at 11 years old.
And that was because of, abuse at the home.
By the time he was 16, Kevin had lived in more than 4 different foster homes.
And we moved, I think, within a year's time. We moved from Elizabethtown to Somerset to more homes in Somerset. So we was bouncing around for, quite a bit of time. That's when I found myself in Boys Haven when I was 15.
He lived at Boys and Girls Haven for several years, and I got to know him pretty well during his time here. Since he left the program, we've mostly stayed in touch through the Boys and Girls Haven Instagram. We message back and forth with life updates, he'll tell me about the music that he's making, and sometimes we talk about the Cincinnati Bengals,
playoff
Kevin's favorite
NFL
Bengals team.
During the Super Bowl, we'll have some Buffalo Wild Wings that day. So
I am telling you.
I'm not the only person that Kevin has been able to maintain contact with through social media.
Since I am a teenager, I do have pretty much every form of social media there is.
Big surprise.
Yeah. So Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, TikTok, all the works.
But is there anybody who lived in Dempsey with you who you still get to talk to you over Instagram or Facebook or any other kind of socials?
Yeah. Actually there's quite a few. Cause
at this point he rattles off 11 names and they're all kids that we both know from his time being placed at Boys and Girls Haven.
In IL and I have my own phone and, everything like that. And they have their own phones now. It's easier to keep in touch.
Social networking apps like Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat had allowed Kevin to stay in contact with a lot of the people he was placed with at Boys and Girls Haven. Individuals who all had a shared experience and who can now maintain meaningful relationships with one another. After our conversation, I got even more curious about social media's potential to be used as a tool for healing and for support in the foster care community. The first thing I did was what most people do when they research something new. I just Googled foster care and social media, and of course the first thing that came up was Facebook. And what I found was lots and lots of foster parent support groups. Even Boys and Girls Haven has a page where foster parents can get together digitally to talk about stories and ask each other questions. But what I couldn't find, no matter how much digging I did, was any sort of digital gathering place for former and current foster youth. I actually sat on my couch, eating ramen noodles, scrolling through Facebook, just scouring the site, looking for anything that even remotely resembled a former foster youth or current foster youth support group. No luck. So I was kind of at a dead end. And then I think after maybe an hour of doing this, I came across a link. And that link was to Reddit. I haven't used Reddit a lot in my life. I have really only used it to find streams for sports games. So this was uncharted territory. Reddit is essentially a massive discussion forum that's made up of lots of smaller discussions about very niche topics. And each of these smaller communities is called a subreddit. It didn't take me very long to find a subreddit about foster care. And you're never going to guess what that subreddit was called.
No, foster it.
Wait for it.
We get a lot of flack about the name, right?
Foster it.
Essentially, I guess when Reddit first started, there were a lot of subs that started like that, you know, like Red It and Foster It. And
right away, I was stunned by the sheer amount of information that was available on this forum for current and former foster youth, foster parents, and child welfare professionals. It was a place where all members of the foster care community could come together and sit at one table. There were discussions about the law, finding siblings, what to expect after aging out, over medication, how foster parents can make their kids most comfortable, religion and homosexuality in the system, abuse, and even nighttime phone use. There were also countless posts by current and former foster youth who just needed a place to vent and to be heard by people who get it.
I'm really excited, especially about Foster It.
This is Kate.
Hi, I'm Kate.
I was really interested in learning more about the subreddit from somebody who actually had experience using it day to day. I ended up finding a list of users who moderate the subreddit. And I reached out to 5 or 6 of them privately, asking if they'd be willing to sit down and tell me a little bit more. After about 2 or 3 days and no responses, I kind of figured that I wasn't going to hear back from anybody. Until...
Did you grow up in foster care yourself?
Yes, I actually went in when I was 14 months old, and I stayed in until I aged out of the system at 18.
Kate responded.
I'm glad I responded because I saw the thing and I was kind of like, oh, I don't really know if this is something I want to do, but I'm glad I did.
Kate is a former foster kid. She spent her entire childhood in a foster home.
The home that I grew up in, and I can say as far as my experience personally, I was lucky because I was only in the one home. She was super religious, like one of those, like even like deathly ill, we had to go to church on Sunday. So, wow. You know, you're sitting there listening to the pastor feeling like you just want to die. <'cause you're> so bad.
And when she turned 18, that was it. She was out on her own.
Did you do any sort of independent living when you aged out, or did you kind of go straight off on your own?
So when I turned 16, they make you do an independent living. It's kind of, they kind of hype it up to be something like, oh, you need to do this so you can graduate from foster care, which I guess is kind of trying to put a positive spin on a like really terrible. That, you know, I didn't think about it at the time, but now like, you know, I'm 37 now. And I kind of look back and like, man, that was pretty messed up. graduating from foster care, like it was some big honor that I was allowed to graduate because I completed these little tiny classes that really weren't very helpful. So, you know,
19 years after leaving care, and Kate has earned her degree.
My major in biology.
Has a job working with animals.
I run a boarding facility. It's just a place where people leave their horses.
And she's still very involved in the foster care system. Not only is she a moderator on the Foster It Reddit page, she also volunteers as a
court-appointed special advocate,
or CASA.
It's a volunteer position.
CASA volunteers are community-based and are appointed by judges to serve in child abuse and neglect cases.
You know, I work with the family and the kid, and I can contact the social worker, and I write up court reports specifically for the judge. So when the judge calls the case, what it is like a synopsis of what's happening, We specifically put in, you know, how long the child has been in care and, you know, points that we want to hit on, concerns that we had previously, stuff like that.
She discovered Reddit several years ago.
I came to Reddit late, just a few years ago. And just because I was previously on Facebook and I'm not really into technology, like I don't even have Instagram or Snapchat because I'm kind of like, I don't know how to work those things. And I really liked Reddit just because I felt like it was more open. You can find everything.
The first foster care page she found on Reddit was actually for foster parents specifically.
You know, I think the foster parent sub was the one that I signed on to first.
And she says that as a former foster youth, her experience wasn't great.
And actually no longer a member of that group because I get so irritated. just that... It's not the post or anything, but just the comments and stuff like that. And just, it's kind of like they're willfully ignoring like former foster kids' advice or their point of view. And I think the number one comment that I have ever heard that if I had a nickel for it, I'd be super rich right now was, oh, well, I hope you heal from your experience, because you're letting it affect you in your real life right now. Like, that is so disrespectful, and it just is so
backhanded and patronizing. Yeah.
So Kate ended up leaving that group and finding a different one, Foster It. And after a few months of posting stories and advice, she was invited to become a moderator.
I'm really pleased with our mod team right now. I feel like we're all kind of hand in hand as far as we definitely want former foster voices heard. We definitely want current foster voices heard, you know, and every now and again, you can absolutely tell where somebody is just in the midst of their hurting from their experience, and you got to let them have a place to vent, right?
And throughout our conversation, Kate kept alluding to a very important piece of information about Reddit.
You know, Reddit is not TikTok, it's not Snapchat, it's not Instagram.
Reddit is designed to be...
It's all essentially...
completely...
faceless.
Anonymous. And that makes it an irrevocable utopia for unfiltered discussion about the foster care system. Anonymity is the perfect way to discuss experiences in foster care without having to worry about HIPAA privacy laws or having to be uncomfortable sharing very personal and sensitive information about yourself. And on top of that, it ensures that conversations are centered around relevant topics instead of individuals, especially...
And it's kind of creepy, right? Like Facebook, when you see foster parents...
As Kate points out...
Because, I don't know, I'm sure it's different in other states, but like here, like, you can't post your kids on social media.
Individual foster parents who might just want to pat themselves on the back.
And I think that's hard, right, for people, because it's kind of their way of getting congratulations, like, look what I'm doing, and... you know, look at these kids, and it's just kind of a way of congratulating themselves, right, on Facebook.
But the invisibility provided by Reddit is also a double-edged sword, because...
it kind of emboldens people to kind of be rude.
So, theoretically, moderating a subreddit could be a very taxing job for someone like Kate.
So Foster It, it says, currently has 13,261 members.
Are you kind of like... the subreddit's chaperone, like you're going and making sure it's just a safe space for everybody and removing comments that maybe are not.
Yeah. It just kind of like, we've definitely had some foster kids, like former foster kids that don't want foster parents at all in the ex-foster sub, which I don't necessarily agree with. I understand why they're saying it, but I think that they, it's okay if they ask questions too, but they're also not allowed to dump this huge hate train. And when we first initially like had taken over the sub and stuff like that, it felt like, weeks on end where there would be arguments and stuff like that. And now I feel like I can just kind of supervise from a distance, and I don't really feel the need to step in or anything like that. But I think that us kind of speaking up consistently and saying, that's not okay. This is why it's not okay. Like, it's important to hear everybody's voices, and it's kind of empowered there's other foster parents that have become very, very good at saying, no, that's not acceptable. Why would you say that? And other former fosters too speak up, which is great.
Right. So it's gone from individual policing to more of a community that polices itself and keeps everybody else in line and being respectful.
Yeah.
That's so with the help of Kate and her counterparts, this subreddit has become a very safe space.
Just knowing you're not alone is a huge thing. And the same thing for foster parents too. Like, you know, in a situation and you don't know what to do and, you know, you're kind of feel like you can't talk to anybody in your personal life, but this is this resource that you can ask other parents, like, what do I do? What is your advice? It's really great.
But it's important to point out that throughout the interview, Kate reiterated that she doesn't want the sub to become an echo chamber. She acknowledged her belief that to be an effective tool for education, it's important to have multiple perspectives represented, and that difficult conversations are important for growth and reflection, but that they need to be respectful so that nobody feels invalidated or even gets re-traumatized. And when I asked Kate what she thinks is the most important part of this subreddit, she responded that its biggest benefit is...
Everything. It's everything. So, you know, like I said, I'm 37 now, right? I remember when the internet started, right? So now you know how old I am.
Wow. Dinosaur.
Yeah, I was there when the internet started. I remember reports, like you had to go to the library and check out like encyclopedias to look up stuff so you could write your reports, right? It's so great for everything. You have access to everything. You can, you know, like I could post something from Hawaii, like, oh, you know, are there foster parents in Hawaii, like how does that work there? And you know, we've got foster parents in the UK, got foster, you know, just foster resources in Canada, and we've got a really good group of people that are like, you know, here's the resources from the UK, here's the resources from Canada, like, oh yeah, you know, I grew up in Utah also, this is what I use, like, just, you know, it's essentially limitless, like the far corners of the earth, right? And you can reach everything. So it's just a matter of putting it out there and what you need help with, right? There are a lot of instances, you know, especially applying for school. One of our other mods has been really great about compiling like a huge list of internet resources. Like this is where you can go if you're applying to school and you want to learn about FAFSA and stuff like that. Here are some books that can help you, you know, kind of cope with trauma, or, you know, or here's some resources for foster parents. So I know that's been really helpful. I want it to be a resource for people like maybe that, like you said, that don't even know about Reddit. And, you know, it's, you know, if it reaches a few more, like even two more people, right? It's providing a service, which is what we want it to be, right? Well, thanks so much, Nick. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Good luck with all of your animals and your kid.
Yeah, thank you.
Your many, many jobs.
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thanks so much.
Yep, have a good one. Right, bye.
Have a good night.
How did the interview go?
This is Kaylee Jones.
Hey, my name is Kaylee Jones.
Kaylee is my office neighbor. And more importantly,
I am the volunteer and events manager here at Boys and Girls Haven.
I'd really enjoyed my conversation with Kate and wanted to reflect on it. So I played the interview back for Kaylee.
Yeah, I really love that. That was kind of inspiring to hear that something she created and worked so hard on to create a safe space keeps itself safe. And it keeps everyone in line and in check. And it's still a place where former and current foster kids can go to for help or a wealth of knowledge, and foster parents can be a part of and participate without diminishing the experiences of those kids, or I guess young adults by now. I'm chronically online as a mid-20-year-old here. And so I've seen a couple of things from current foster parents, but most of them have been on the good side. So I've seen there's this one TikToker, and she kind of gives a guide for foster parents. She gives situations that could happen and conversations that could be said. There are no kids involved. She is speaking to the camera like it is the kid. So the kid on its first intake, what you say, what you have prepared for them, so that they don't have to ask for snacks or food or clothing, how you invite them into your home. So she gives really good guide of that, and I can try and find her handle for that. I've always enjoyed watching those.
In our interview, I brought that up as an example.
I think it was a mom kind of getting the house ready. She's like, this is what I do every time I have a kid who's about to come and live with me. She's like, I lay this out and I get this ready so they'll feel comfortable.
And I think she agreed in part, but still felt like it was a little bit sticky.
do you think in that case it's like more educational, or do you think it's still kind of like steering on the side of inappropriate, you know?
So that might be my own personal bias, and that's why I'm kind of leery about it, because like I said, it's good to have that resource, and I understand why. And TikTok is the new social media now, right? Kind of, to me, it feels like you want people to look at you, but I think that's just my thing. I don't know. I don't think everybody is like that, but we've got stuff on Reddit, and I'm not saying you have to go to Reddit. You can't look at anything anywhere else, where it just feels better because it is anonymous. It's not somebody look at me and look at my home and look at all this great stuff that I did.
Yeah. Kind of. Well, I mean, that's
absolutely, there's kind of that fine line to walk, honestly, with any sort of educational promotion online.
Right.
There's also the other side that a lot of Gen Zers are out there who are former current foster kids videoing their experiences and speaking out against it and against things that are happening or for things. There's another one I've seen before where they give insight that's like, foster parents, this is what you think is okay, but as from our experiences, this is not. And they kind of give that hard truth. And kind of create that discourse. And so you see it in the comments of people like, no, this is fine. I'm the parents getting defensive again, right?
Right. And so that was my main takeaway from the interview and from finding Reddit, was that social media has become a tool for creating that discourse and creating that discussion. And that's huge. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Haven Happenings podcast. A great big thank you to all of our wonderful guests. You can listen to more episodes or learn more by visiting us online at boysandgirlshaven.org.